Welcome here. I just wanted to say I thank God for the snow, even though there is a lot of it. It just kind of cleans everything after the muddy, messy snow that we've had. So just pray, Lord, this morning that you give us clean hearts, give us a fresh start this morning as we worship. Please welcome. Please stand with us.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Greet those around you, and then you may be seated.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service this morning. As the song says, 10,000 years and then forevermore. What a blessed hope. I'd like to read a few verses from Psalm 119, beginning with verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. An education in the Word of God is the most important education there is, bar none, because it's building for eternity. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the truth of your Word. We thank you that it's eternal and that it's understandable and that it's all-sufficient. It really is all we need to live the kind of a life that you want us to. And it has the key to salvation. The means by which we may have the hope of spending eternity with you. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are worshiping with us this morning for the first time or are a visitor, We would encourage you to help yourself to one of the visitor cards on the back of the pew in front of you and provide the information and take it down to the Welcome Center in the foyer. There'll be somebody there to receive it and to give you a gift so that you will have something to remember us by, as well as us having something to remember you by. I've been asked to announce that since this is communion, that all of the elements that are used in the communion are gluten-free for those for whom that might be a consideration. At this time, I'll ask the ushers to come forward to receive our morning offering and for our prayer. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to worship together. And we pray that as we worship, that your name might be glorified and that we might be strengthened and encouraged to walk with you and to serve you. We thank you for your word, and we pray that you will help us, that we might diligently read it and study it and meditate on it on a regular basis. We also would like to pray for Brian Willox, living at Bow Valley Lodge in Calgary, and pray that he might receive healing from you, that he might be able to be restored to health once again. We would also like to pray for the family of Katie Taves as they grieve her passing, and for Josh Bickery, Raymond's friend, who passed away recently, and so we want to remember that family and Raymond too as well, that they will be able to be encouraged in the faith even though they have lost a friend. We also would like to pray for wisdom and discernment for the leadership team that is considering a potential candidate, and we ask that you would guide them and direct them in that pursuit of an associate pastor. I'd like to also pray for our local MP, Martin Shields. Political leaders have a lot on their plate, and Lord, we pray that you would help him to look to you as a source of wisdom and strength for the challenges that he faces on a daily basis. We also want to pray for Sarah Horan, who is studying education at the University of Calgary, and we pray that you would bless her in that endeavor and that you would help her, that she may be successful, that she may get the experience that she needs in order to pursue her chosen profession. We also want to remember the Gideons International in Canada, an organization that has done much throughout the world to distribute Bibles far and wide. And we pray that you would be especially near to that that organization as they pursue this, and especially there, in Africa, where there is a lot of positive response to the Word of God and to their ministry. And many of these people are suffering from war and famine and strongholds of addiction and paganism. And Lord, we pray that you would that you would undertake for them and help them to realize that you are the only way to salvation and to hope. Father, as we take up our offering this morning, we pray that you will bless each one who gives, and you would also bless those who would have liked to have given but are not able to. And we pray, too, that you will use the funds in a way that will bear fruit for your kingdom. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, kids, you can come up to the front. Now, I have a question for you. In your story today, Isaiah has a vision of God appearing to him in the temple, and there's quite a long list of things that happen when God appears. So I want you to imagine, what would it be like if God were suddenly to appear in our church? What kind of things do you think would happen? What would it be like? Yes, Gracie.
A big explosion.
A big explosion. Mm-hmm. Yes, what else would it be like? In this case, there was a lot of light, and it's not on there, but there was thunder and lightning. Can you imagine that in the church? Lightning. And also it says that there was a lot of noise, like just trumpet blaring noise. And who here is afraid of big noises? I know that some kids are, yeah. And also, it says that the whole temple shook. Can you imagine that in here? If everything just started shaking like this, that'd be pretty terrifying. It was terrifying for Isaiah. Yes, our God is a very big God. And he is awesome. So I would like to pray, and then I'll send you off to your Sunday school class. Dear God, we fold our hands and close our eyes and bow our heads before you because you are so much bigger than us, so much greater. And we bow ourselves before you because you are so huge and great and glorious and majestic and full of splendor. And it's just a wonderful thing that you love us too. For these kids, I pray that they would grow up in the confidence that you are watching out for them. Give them a very good Sunday school class. We love them too. In Jesus' name, amen. On your way down.
I just wanted to mention, too, Camp Evergreen is having their annual ladies' banquet coming up on April 1st to 3rd. And Connie Kavanaugh, who spoke at our Christmas banquet, is going to speak at this weekend. So I'm really excited. So if you have any questions or want to, you can register online, or I think we can get you a paper copy to register so you can talk to myself or the office or contact Camp Evergreen. So please stand and worship with us. In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe, we believe. In this broken generation,
the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. Let the lost be found and the dead be raised in the here and now. Let love invade. Let the church live loud. Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back. He's coming back again.
You're calling us to the cross.
stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow.
Good morning. The scripture reading this morning is from 2 Kings 19, verses 14 to 19. I'll be reading it out of the story, and that starts on the bottom paragraph of page 222. Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Give ear, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. Listen to the words of Sennacherib has sent to ridicule the living God. It is true, Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste these nations and their lands. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them, for they were not gods, but only wood and stone, fashioned by human hands. Now, Lord our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, Lord, are God.
Thank you, Sherry. Last week in the story, we looked at Elijah, and he was a hero of God when he stood on top of Mount Carmel and took on the prophets of Baal, who were under the sponsorship of the wicked Queen Jezebel. And the contest was this, that whichever God could send down fire from heaven, that was the living God. Obviously, the prophets of Baal were not able to produce the fire, but Elijah, when he made his simple prayer, the fire came down and consumed that whole altar. It must have been extremely dramatic, exciting to see. But what happened is that while there was that little victory, it was still in the hearts of the people of Israel to chase after other gods. They never gave up their idolatry for the living God. Neither did the people in the south, in the nation of Judah, kingdom of Judah. And for that reason, it came to pass that God had to allow an empire from the north to come into the land, invade it, destroy it, and carry the people off to captivity because of their idolatry. As our chapter says, if you read it, because they worshipped other gods, and they did not trust in the Lord their God. Now, the business of worshiping an idol is a strange one to me. I'm a man like others, tempted by many things, but one thing I am not tempted to do is to bow down before an idol with a very funny face. That next picture, like those people there, and think that I am doing something productive. But that is the reason why the Israelites were sent off into captivity, because they were doing exactly that. And after they had been in exile for many years, they were brought back into the land of the promised land. And one thing we discover is that they were at least cured of this strange behavior. When we come to the Gospels, the Jews in Jesus' day, whatever their problems may be, they were not bowing down to idols. They, in fact, probably would have given their lives to keep idols out of their homes, out of their city, and out of their temple. And probably for that reason, they thought that they were now ready for the Messiah to come back and make them the greatest nation in the world again. Re-enter the golden years that they had, that they remembered back when David was king. And one of the reasons Jesus was rejected, refused, is because he didn't congratulate them for this. He was still pointing out troubles in their lives. And that is why he was in the end rejected and eventually killed, because he wasn't the kind of Messiah that they were expecting, that they thought should come. Of course, what Jesus was pointing up is that bowing down to idols like this is not so much the problem as what is the attitude of the heart that leads to things like this. And in that respect, the human condition has not changed at all. Whatever the heart puts its trust in, apart from the living God who is the creator of the ends of the earth, whatever the heart puts its trust in that is not that is an idol. And we can then say that for the Jews in Jesus' day, it was certainly their purity as Jews which had become an idol, or perhaps their law or Torah that had become an idol, or their temple, or their ability to be able to trace back their lineage all the way back to Abraham, that these things took the place of the living God in their heart and what he wanted. So we can say that it was still, in a sense, idolatry that was a problem. And we are no different. As Canadians, we are just as apt to throw up idols that we put our trust in that are not the living God. And we can name them: financial security, family and relationships, a college degree, a good reputation, a sports team. And having said that, many of us were very excited about the Blue Jays last summer and how well they were going to do and how it was them that were going to win the World Series. And that's a good experience for all of us, because they didn't get there and they're a disappointment. And people who were glamorized and idolized, like big hitters like Bautista and Encarnacion, in the end could not bring the fire. They are not the living God. And that could be said about any of the things that I mentioned, that in the end, they disappoint us. We lean on them and they break. Now, in our story, if you were reading the chapter, you will discover that the Assyrian army has come down from the north and it is laying siege to all the cities of Judah, and it comes to the great capital city of Jerusalem, lays siege to it. And this is a mighty army, and the people in Jerusalem are in big trouble. We have come forward the field commander. His name is Rabshakeh. And he comes out and he makes a speech, and he is a remarkable figure. He is not at all like Goliath, who also defied the Lord's people. But Goliath was big and ugly and smelly, and who openly cursed God and threatened to feed David's flesh to the birds and make every Israelite a slave. So, of course, Goliath was big and strong, but we really, really hoped that he lost. Rabshakeh, however, is suave and sophisticated. He is going to make a very attractive speech. And I just made a little list here of things that make him admirable. First of all, he's very intelligent. He knew the history of Israel under Hezekiah, the things that Hezekiah had did. So he has well-read, well-researched fellow. He is reasonable. He points out that so far, every nation that Assyria has gone up against, their gods were not able to save them. They just weren't good enough. So why should Judah, with their God, think that they are any different than any other nation? He is generous. He says, Israelites, if you will make peace with us, then each of you will eat of his own vine, you will own your own fig tree, you'll drink from your own cistern, you will settle in a land of grain and wine, you will have bread and vineyards, olive trees and honey, you will live and not die. Very generous fellow. He is also remarkably bilingual. He gives his speech to these envoys that come from the city and says to them, and then Rabshakeh says, now I'm going to talk to everybody who's looking over the wall. And he switches into the Hebrew language and says it again to them. Impressive. And then finally, and maybe most confusing of all with this fellow, is that he says that he has received a word from the Lord. He says, the Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. Well, how should the Israelites choose? There they are in their city facing starvation, facing lack of water, facing death. Should they choose this Rabshakeh? Or should they choose their king Hezekiah who follows the Lord God? Which one? Well, we know what happens. An angel of the Lord comes in the night and slays 185,000 of the Assyrians so that the army is decimated. They go home, and there the king is soon after assassinated. So the threat just evaporates into the air because the Lord God comes out on the side of Hezekiah. But for those Israelites standing on the wall, having to make that choice, it is a much harder thing just to remember, right, the Lord God has always taken care of us in the past. He can still work miracles on our part. Therefore, we need to choose him. Thinking about these kinds of choices, you know, the tribal Africans in this last century, they faced a choice for Christianity. That was a choice like between David and Goliath. I mean, their animistic religion was full of shamans and witchcraft and demon possession. And like Goliath, it was big and ugly and brutal. And they only chose it because there wasn't any alternative for them. Then Christianity comes along and the demons run. And millions of Africans then choose for Christianity. But our choice is not much like that. It's more like the one with Rabshakeh, in that we have a world around us that appears sophisticated, urbane, And the secular world is very capable of appearing reasonable, intelligent, well-organized, massive, immense, and even occasionally makes the positive reference to the Lord, just like Rabshakeh did. The Syrian army looks shiny, inevitable, and so often does our own world that we live in. So which is the future? Is it our secular society, or does it remain Jesus Christ? How to choose? Now let me raise the stakes, because it is true that whatever God a person attaches himself or herself to, then you share the fate of that God. And if it's a God that's on the way down, then you go down with that God. And if it's a God on the way up, then you go up with that God. And so it really does matter whose side you choose. What we learn from stories like Hezekiah and the Assyrian army is that appearances cannot tell you much about which way it's going to go. Appearances are little indication of what the outcome will be. Nothing is more important than identifying who is the living God behind the appearances and who is the dead God. I took a couple pictures here and put them up. See if you can choose which is the future. On the left there is from inside the hall at the Academy Awards from last year, maybe the most glamorous event in the world. On the right is a picture I took myself in the slum of Bogota, Colombia. It's a cross. There's a lot of colorful paintings on that little building. I suspect that it is a little church for people who live in the slums. And actually, we saw quite a few of these little places with crosses out front, little tiny churches like mushrooms all over this slum. Well, which is the future? And what is dying? What is living and what is dying? Just from appearances, you can't tell. It really matters whose God is alive and whose God is dead. I have noticed in my own life that there are many things that are now dying, now that I have reached the age of 44, that were shiny in the past. I'm having thoughts in my head that these are things I'm not going to carry through for the rest of my life. It's the first time I've been thinking like that. Do they call that going over the hill? I go to the gym and I no longer can get a good connection spiking a volleyball. It just used to be automatic, but I cannot hit it straight on anymore. If I'm playing basketball, I'm open underneath and Scott Phillipson sees me and he fires a pass inside and I tell you, it just bounces off my hands and dribbles to the other team. I can't catch it anymore. I thought that being in a life of communication that I would get good at crossword puzzles. I cannot get crossword puzzles. Maybe some of you can, but it's just I've given up on it. Something that will never happen. And I can tell that my hearing isn't great, and I have trouble breathing at night, and things are, I'm going over the hill. And I made a visit to Arlie Harder, who lived one of the most active lives that I know. I mean, he's got stories that he can tell forever about things he did. And now he can't get his breath getting from one chair to the next. And so a lot of things are just going away for him. Many of you seniors would probably say, yep, there's a lot of things. And I just read this verse here that says that when the Assyrian army, the soldiers had been killed by the angel of the Lord, the people arose early in the morning and there were corpses everywhere. And you start to think, yep, there are corpses everywhere. Things are dying. But I know from Mr. Arlie Harder that he has chosen something eternal and he holds on to it so that he knows that the shiny things are going away. He knows that. But there is something eternal that he is holding on to. And it is God. And it is a good decision. Because that God is the future. And God raised Jesus from the dead. So that Jesus died, but that wasn't the end of him. He rose from the dead. And God has promised that for anybody who chooses him, yes, they will die, but yes, they will also rise from the dead. And just as Jesus took on a body that was immortal, that would never know pain or suffering ever again, so Arlie Harder and Katie Taves and Frieda Hopcraft and Jack Weeks and all these people have in their future this body that will never die. Sometimes it is hard to wait, and the pressure of the Assyrian army gets on us. And a couple weeks ago, I was on the internet, and you're saying, there's your problem right there, and came across news that disturbed me because it seemed like so morally irresponsible and but also inevitable. Like, I didn't know what to do about this. And so I was like that those Israelites, you know, standing on the wall and looking out, and there's Rabshakeh, and he's telling me, you've got no hope. Give up what you're doing. Give up your Lord God. We've beaten every other Lord, every other God, and so this is the future. So come out, and we'll take good care of you. And so even as a Christian for as long as I have been, you know, those things still, those voices still come in your ear. And you're standing there on the wall, and you're looking, and they say, what am I doing here? But the answer is exactly what Hezekiah did. And it is worth reading the whole thing here, because we should always do this. Because I know that we always hear those voices of Rabshakeh in our heads. After Hezekiah received the letter, so it was all written down and sent in. After Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it, he went up to the Lord's temple and spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed this prayer before the Lord. O Lord God of Israel, you are enthroned between the mighty cherubim. You alone are God of all the kingdoms of the earth. You alone created the heavens and the earth. Bend down, O Lord, and listen. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Listen to Sennacherib's words of defiance against the living God. It is true, Lord, that the kings of Assyria have destroyed all these nations, and they have thrown the gods of these nations into the fire and burned them. But of course the Assyrians could destroy them. They were not gods at all, only idols of wood and stone shaped by human hands. Now, O Lord, our God, rescue us from his power. Then all the kingdoms of the earth will know that you alone, O Lord, are God. I strongly recommend that prayer for any time when you quake inside and you look at things and it scares you and you wonder, how is this all going to turn out? I just don't know. And if you can print it out because you've seen it on the internet, then it becomes like that message that you just spread out before the Lord and say, look, Lord, this is what's been said. This is what's being done. But once again, I put my life in the hands of you because you are the living God. And you know what to do. There is another man who is speaking to us, calling to us. He is not at all like Goliath or Rabshakeh. And unlike them, he does not project size and power. Rather, his body is all broken up like this bread here because he has been whipped and scourged. And his body is all bloodied like this grape juice here because of the crown of thorns that has been hammered on his head. And he is in that way because this is the price of sin. Because we tend to fear Goliath because we fear. And we tend to put our hope in Rabshakeh because we have false hopes. But there is a deeper problem behind all of this, and that is our guilt. Where deep down, we are aware that we're not enough, that we have done wrong, that we come up short, that our quality just isn't there. And more than anything else, we need God's forgiveness. And God sent his Son in order that we might be forgiven. And this Jesus, who comes to us as a third man, he says, choose me and you will be forgiven. He goes to the Assyrians, who are obviously very bad people, and offers them forgiveness. He goes to the Israelites behind the wall too, who have in their heart this addiction to idolatry. He is enough for the Jews in the day of Jesus, who have given up the idolatry, but still their heart is full of hatred and pride and greed. And he comes to us too and speaks to us, because though we live a more prosperous life, yet the human condition is such that we have not progressed morally. We are still tempted to these wrong attitudes, and these wrong attitudes cause us to hurt others when we shouldn't, and that is sin. So, on our own, we are lost. But thank the Lord God in heaven that he sent his Son to die for us. And only he can, because he was the perfect man. He was the Lamb. And only a perfect man can give his life for someone else. And he loved us so much that he did that for you and for me. I will call up those who are going to help with communion right now, and they can get this ready here. I don't know where they are. And as they come up, we are going to take some time as the worship team sings. They can come up too. And I would like you to use that time just to hear the voice of that man, Jesus, who looks nothing like Goliath, who looks nothing like Rabshakeh. In fact, he is not someone who would attract us to him because of appearances. But this Lord Jesus gives us what we most need, which is forgiveness. And he offers it to you and to me. One piece. And so the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and he broke it, saying, "This is my body that is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we hear your voice. You are calling us to choose you, you who gave your life for us on the cross in order that we might be forgiven. And though we are filled with all kinds of messages from the world, we set them aside right now in order that we might hear heaven's message, that through Jesus we can be made clean. How grateful we are for this gift to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll take two. You are. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup also, saying, "This blood is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away our sin. We did not deserve it. We were hopeless without it. But in your love, you did it for us. Thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us drink together. Lord Jesus, we are amazed at this gift that you sent us. And as we just sung, we acknowledge that you are our Lord. We see in you that you are the future, the power, that you have great plans for us, and we want to be part of it. And by this means, by the death of Jesus, we are accepted into your family and into your will. What a great thing it is to be one of your children. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. Go in the love of God.